Welcome back to the Art and Jennifer Show. Kelly Jackson filling in today for Art Holiday. So nice to have you here. We were talking this morning about how so many people are looking forward to being with family on Thanksgiving. But things can go awry. They always did in the Blohm home. Nancy Schnoblin-Ims joins us from her company, Polished. Nancy teaches classes in all the soft skills, communication, time management, and etiquette. And it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Jennifer. I love being with you. And hello, Kelly.
Hello. I told you when you walked in, I feel like I should really be sitting up straight.
Yes.
And
no,
do people do that around you when they meet you, when they find out what you do?
They do. They get all nervous. But honestly, at the end of the day, and this is what I say, it's not about the being prim and proper. And obviously, we want to have good posture, but it's just having that sensitive awareness and kindness, right? Just
right.
Being kind. So I don't want people to get nervous around me. But inevitably, if I'm doing dining etiquette, they get all scared.
So let's talk about dining etiquette, because I think a lot of people think it's the right fork or the right spoon. What is it?
Yeah, sure, that's important, especially if you're in a career and you're entertaining clients. I mean, you're representing the organization. You want to put your best hand forward, if you will, not foot forward. But etiquette is just mindfulness. It's being, like I said, aware of that person next to you, creating great conversations, building rapport. And yes, it goes beyond the fork and knife, but that's part of it. And it's really when you know how to dine properly, you don't need to worry. You're a rock star in that way. You can focus on your guests or your family and enjoy the conversations.
And there are some basics, like don't chew with your mouth open and don't make noises. And I think this could really hold a person back in their career if they had not been lucky enough to have been taught that as a child.
Absolutely. I always like to say to my kids when they were growing up, I do little rhymes like elbows, elbows off the table. This is not a horse's stable, and then they remember. Yeah. Or, eating soup, sail away. Little boats go out to sea, up in the air and into me. So things like that, just if you can, especially with the younger generation, mm-hmm. even millennials, when I do classes, they remember because they visualize and they like that little fun part of it. So, but it is important, basic manners.
And so there is a demand for etiquette classes for millennials?
There is a demand. And believe it or not, I just did an etiquette for corporate organization here in town. So, and I do it a lot. People, it's something that we don't think about. But especially if you're growing in the career, you want to be on your game, and manners matter at the mm-hmm. end of the day. They really do.
I want to cut to the chase.
Yes.
Okay. About a month and a half ago, went out of town. It was a girls' weekend, and a woman who I just met that weekend, lovely woman, very nice, but she would eat with food still in her mouth, and pieces of food particles would hit us.
Mm.
Now, what do you do when you know someone is doing things that are just so...
Like spitting food at you?
Right, right.
I mean, so how do you react to people who don't have great etiquette?
Exactly. And that's a tough call. But really, you never want to single out anybody's errors or doing something that's wrong. Because, that makes them uncomfortable. And that can set the stage for future humility, or they could be scarred from that comment and being afraid to go out to dinner and going forward. So I get it, Kelly, but you just have to kind of swallow it, right, so to speak, and just deal with it. And then maybe at another time you can say something in conversation. I was like, I was teaching my granddaughter to, chew with your mouth closed. You can do a story, but not singling out to them so they understand.
Let's talk about topics of conversation at the Thanksgiving table.
Mm.
What not to go, what not to touch, and what to touch.
Right. Well, when we get everybody together, sometimes we don't see each other for a long period of time. So, Cousin Billy and Aunt Edna, they might have not have interacted for maybe even 6 months to a year, or maybe the following Thanksgiving they see each other. So just be aware, sometimes people's politics, for example, that's very private. And with where the climate today, where mm-hmm. everything is just so – the impeachment trials and everything is just so volatile, it's best not to – that's a taboo topic, right? Even though you may have a good understanding of your family's politics or friends' politics, not bring it up.
Okay, so what if one's sister brings it up and she's an extreme right-winger, for example, and her opinion does not match your own? What's the best way to react? or how best not to react.
Mm-hmm. Because we're people, we're human, right? But if you come in your mind and you know, use your self-regulation skills, you know that this might be a trigger for me, pivot. Say, you know what? That reminds me of a different topic. You know, change the topic, change the conversation instead of going there. And then hopefully, other conversations will develop and it goes away.
Talk about the grandchildren, right? Isn't she cute?
Oh, that reminds me of what I wanted to share with you about my, you know, you could come up with something. And that's
like, look at her. She's a never-Trumper.
Yeah, look how she's, yeah.
One of the big things that you say is listening to people.
Absolutely. That's part of a conversation. Mm-hmm. And being a good listener is huge because that allows you to really understand the conversation, dig deeper.
Jennifer's a great listener. Jennifer
Well, actually, and this would be a way to actively listen and not impose your own opinion, but just say to the person, it sounds like you think whatever.
Right. You can probe more and get down to the grit of the conversation. But also active listening involves body language, too. So nodding like you're doing right now, mm-hmm. Jennifer, or maybe using your hands in an open palm position that shows, oh, I like that. That's inclusive for me. Smiling, eye contact. These are all ways in which we can show that we're listening.
We have a texter who has a question for you, Nancy. How can you get a guest to take off his hat when he comes into your home to eat?
Thank you. That is important. And that's one of those silent rules that nobody pays attention to. You'll go to a restaurant and people will have their hats on. I've even, believe it or not, went to a wedding and the gentleman had a baseball cap on at the wedding. I know. Mm. And it wasn't like he was sick or anything. It was just a teenager. So what you can say in a very polite way, you know, oh, let me take your coat. Let me take your hat. I'm putting purses and everything right here. So when they walk in, it's just – it's automatic. It's you're being the host and you're saying, oh, gosh, thank you. You know, we grab your coat and your hat and I'll just put it over here for you. And if they, you know, I mean, people will say, oh, is it okay if I keep my hat on? And you can jokingly say, not at the dinner table. You know, make them do it in an amorous way and in an animated way where they feel comfortable.
What about if you are hosting or you're going to someone's house for Thanksgiving and you bring a guest that you didn't tell the host that you were bringing an extra guest.
Just show up with one?
Yeah.
That happens?
It happened at my wedding that someone brought someone.
Kidding.
A destination wedding.
Oh,
and
wow.
They brought two extra people.
Oh, well, how would you even have room for them? Because people RSVP.
Right. I know.
Again, Thanksgiving is a time for gathering, friendships, gratitude, gratefulness, blessings. So you never obviously want to turn anybody away. But you don't want to make fuss over it. Oh, gosh, let me just grab another chair. We're glad you're here. You know, and that person should know better, right? There's some kind of standard golden rules out there that we should all abide by. But we don't want to make them feel uncomfortable.
If we are invited to a Friendsgiving where everybody brings a dish, is it still proper to bring a hostess gift?
I like to bring it as a gesture. If they're hosting it, they're doing the cleanup, they're doing the vacuuming, they're doing this table setting, whatever it may be, it's that extra gift. It doesn't have to be expensive. It could be maybe an extra pie for them to enjoy later or flowers, something that just shows appreciation.
Mm-hmm. But not flowers.
Not flowers? Oh.
Not flowers, question mark.
Oh, yes. Flowers, okay.
Okay.
I've read before bringing flowers, but already bring them in a vase so they don't have to go through the trouble of...
That would be ideal. Some people will go to the market and pick one up wrapped in a... And that's fine. But, yeah, you you don't want to nitpick. It's the gesture that counts, mm-hmm. right?
But you don't want to make more work for
the host
either.
Right. No,
exactly.
I always like even just, you know, there's so many gifts today. You know, maybe it's a little hand towel with a turkey on it or, you know, just mm-hmm. something nice that they may not, or some beautiful hand soap. You know, there's lots of things that you can do.
Yeah, there's always someone, the drunk uncle or aunt or grandpa.
Kelly, I was waiting for this.
Okay, alcohol and Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Should you do the 2-drink minimum?
Right.
You can't control your guests.
I know. Although, but when
especially,
you're a guest,
and you can't pick your family, right?
Right.
I always like to say that. You bring friends and everybody's polite and engaging, and then family comes and messes things up. You know, that's a tough one. And again, what you can do as the host is you control the pours. You know, I've got, let me pour wine and then you can put it in the kitchen. But, you know, obviously you don't want that person driving if they're consuming too much alcohol or wine. But again, it is a time for everybody to get together. You want to enjoy Thanksgiving. It's once a year when families gather and you members whom you might not have seen for a while. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just it can be stressful if you're hosting it and there's 30, 40, you know, people more even coming to your house. It can be a stressful time, but, you know, just go with it.
We have a follow-up question from a texter, Nancy. What if that person won't give up their hat?
They really like
then?
Their hat, don't they? Yes.
Does this fall into that category of we'll never change somebody else's opinion and we should not try?
Yeah, after you offer, right, say, oh, may I take your coat? May I take your hat? You know, if somebody has an umbrella or your purse, let me just help you. And that's normal. You would do that anyway as a host. And they insist on it. And then you say, sure, if you want to, you know, I prefer that you don't wear it at the dining room table, but if you are, you know, adamant about it, it's fine. That's just my preference. You know, it's okay to be assertive about it. You don't want to be aggressive and certainly don't want to make them feel comfortable, but you can just say, of course I understand, but you know, if you wouldn't mind removing it at the dining room table, I would appreciate it.
Mm. You think we're a society of, or our manners are kind of going downhill as opposed to minding our manners?
Yes. I mean, I think, again, because we are so fast-paced today, we go from one job to picking up daycare to kids' activities to picking up convenience meals at the grocery store instead of making. We are always racing. And as a result, our smartphones are our, you know, go-to. And so we kind of lose touch with that interaction of people. And as a result, our manners kind of slide.
I do have another question. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was at an event on Sunday, and a woman comes up to me, says something a little insensitive, and then right after that, she says, I want to take a picture with you, and she doesn't ask me. Mm. And she takes the photo. Now, needless to say, I wasn't really smiling. But
that's very presumptuous,
yeah,
first of all.
Yes. Yeah, so when people come up to you, they should ask first, right?
Absolutely. You know, even if you're not a local celebrity, right?
I mean, yeah, regardless of who you are.
Right, right. I mean, again, it's all about respect. How would you put the shoe on the other foot? How would that person like if you said, hey, can I take a picture of you? No. You have to ask. You know, I know you're here to enjoy the evening. It would mean a lot if I could have your photo. Maybe not right now, but when it's convenient. Just be courteous. That's all it is. Courtesy.
And then from a vain person's point of view, ask them, is this picture okay or should I take another one?
Yes.
But also you have every right to say, you know, I prefer that you don't blast us all over social media, or, you know, if it's a fundraiser for a good cause, you know, that's all good and well. But if it's, you know, if they're just collecting pictures on Instagram or wanting to get those likes, then, you know, come on.
Nancy Schnobel and Ims from Polished, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And tell us your website again.
It's www.stlpolished.com. Let me repeat that. stlpolished.com.
Great.
stlpolished.com. And thank you, Kelly. It's a pleasure to be with you, too.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.